Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com. This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
And talking to me today on the Israel report is Lieutenant Colonel in the Reserves, Maurice Hirsch. And as per usual, very grateful to have your input this afternoon.
Hey, it's always great to be with you. Good afternoon to you and all the listeners.
So I've been looking at the various headlines in the Israeli press this afternoon. The first thing that jumped out at me was the fact that Bibi Netanyahu apparently seems pretty skeptical whether the international force will in fact be able to disarm Hamas. This in light of phase two of the Gaza ceasefire. What's his thinking?
Well, unfortunately, what appears to be the situation is that none of the countries that would actually be willing to fight against, to actively fight against Hamas and to disarm them, are willing to take part in the peace, as it were, the peacekeeping force or the peace enforcement force. So what you're left with is countries that aren't really committed to disarming Hamas, but rather some of them are more committed to maintaining and supporting Hamas, like Turkey, like Qatar. And now we're facing this real dilemma as to, and this was one of these dilemmas that we saw from the start of the peace process, or the ceasefire process, let's call it. Who is actually going to disarm Hamas? And if it's not the US and it's not these international forces, then we're left with two situations. Either Israel has to do it herself, or we're going to allow Hamas to rebuild, regroup, recuperate, and we hear them going on television on before the international community. Khaled Mashal just a few days ago, coming on television and saying very blatantly, we have no intention of disarming. We will not disarm. We are not going anywhere. We will stay in power. And now the question is to Reddit to President Trump and the U.S. Well, you knew this was coming. What's your plan? How are you going to prevent Hamas from really regrouping and regaining its support, regaining its control, and before anything happens again, and someone needs to intervene? So that's really where we are. I think that's Prime Minister Netanyahu is looking at this situation, I think, very, very pragmatically. If there's another force that can do it, well and good. But if there isn't, then Israel will have to finish the job.
I listen to you saying that. I understand that there must be absolute total consensus in Israel about that one particular thing. There is no ways that Hamas can be left in Gaza armed. However, I just look at America, the fact that they're tying Israel's arms, the world opinion, and I just can't see how Israel can act. It seems to me as if you are between, you know, the hammer and a bad place.
Yeah, without question, I think we are, but I think that there are certain elements of the program which really do work in Israel's favor. The fact that Hamas is cut off from its supply of oxygen in the form of open border with Egypt and smuggling through the tunnels and overground weapons and machinery going into Gaza. I think that really does pose a problem for them. And they won't be digging these tunnels that now have to be very much longer to go right under the area that's controlled by Israel so quickly. So I think there is some leverage to ensure that there will be not a stalemate, but some type of movement forward. And the question is whether the international community, not only the US, will actually allow Israel to move forward. I think seeing what will happen if the board of peace comes about, and if Tony Blair does take control of this board of peace, how to what extent can he then implement the additional stages of the ceasefire deal? That's something that I think still remains to be seen, and really that will be the question. And above that, how does Israel then act in the absence of the disarmament of Hamas? Do we allow anyone to move on to stage two? Do we allow the rebuilding of Gaza? Do we allow goods to come through Israel into Gaza, and what goods? I mean, all of these are questions that need to be decided by Israel. And as you know, my stance on this is very, very clear. There is an agreement. Agreements need to be fulfilled. And once Hamas has breached the agreement, then Israel should ensure that there is either strict adherence or consequences for the breach. Turning a blind eye will not be a good result for Israel. And I would say also not for the Palestinians.
And against this backdrop of really wondering whether Qatar is an honest actor or not, many in Israel doubting that they are, the Israeli officials and Qataris apparently meeting in New York City to look to mending relations. I mean, I just do not understand this headline reported by the Times of Israel today. Are they being forced by the U.S.?
So I think they are being forced by the U.S. I think you have a... repeated statements by U.S. Officials supporting the Qataris, explaining how much they are a positive influence. It seems that America is trying to really bear hug the Qataris into acceptance of a different approach. I think they're in quite a difficult situation. I think part of the I wonder as to whether part of that. That whole experiment is not designed to possibly push the Saudis into a more preferable stance, considering the MBS is now possibly rolling back to a certain extent his agreement to move forward with a normalization with Israel. I think he also needs to understand that there are alternatives to his approach as well. But let there be no mistake. I don't think there's any illusion. Qatar isn't on the fence. Qatar is a supporter of Hamas, and that has to be very, very clear to everyone who is dealing with them, whether they wear suits or not. They are terrorist supporters.
Let's move on to the next story. Netanyahu stating publicly he won't quit politics for a pardon. It looks like he's demanding a pardon, but all on his own terms.
Well, so I don't think he's demanding a pardon. I think his letter to President Herzog was very, very clear. I don't believe that I've committed an offence. But nonetheless, I'm asking that you pardon me and put an end to this farce that's going on in the courts, which is then being used as a mechanism to sow dissent and disagreement in the country. So if we value unity, then the way to do it is to end the trial and get to this position where, well, now it's just politics now. It's just either vote for Netanyahu or not vote for Netanyahu. I don't think there's any reason why he should necessarily agree to any conditioning of the pardon on him stepping down. I think he's got he'll probably prefer to take his chances with the courts, considering that the judges already on some of the offences have already made very clear that they see great difficulty in the case of the prosecution. And as every day goes by, there seems to be more and more holes being drilled into that case of the prosecution. So I don't think Netanyahu is going to agree to any type of conditioning. If Herzog wants, he can pardon him. If he doesn't, that's also fine. But then obviously it can't be something which Netanyahu will agree to say, you know what, I'm ending my political career. Because of this, because then he might as well go and see if he's convicted.
You are right, though. And at the end of the day, I mean, let the public decide. That seems to be a fair way of doing it during 2026.
Yeah, that's... I mean, that's democracy. There were a number of laws passed in Israel on this whole subject of when does a civil servant, a member of Knesset, a minister, have to resign following an indictment? And there was positive decisions made that you can't have force a prime minister to resign just because he's indicted, because then you're empowering a civil servant, senior, however he may be, with the ability to bring about a change of regime. If the Attorney General indicts the Prime Minister, then he has to step down. Well, the Attorney General can indict every Prime Minister, and everyone who he doesn't like could potentially be indicted and then be forced to step down.
Interesting.
And that was specifically discussed as part of the law. And so that's part of Israel's democracy. It's saying that even if there is a prime minister who has been indicted, he can still run. He is still a legitimate candidate, and that's not a problem. And so that's where we are. Even under indictment, let's not forget, Netanyahu has won four elections, bringing the biggest party with the most votes. So I think much of the Israeli public still supports Netanyahu in one way or another, and they are skeptical whether any of these charges will actually stick at the end of the day.
I want to move on to maybe there's time for two more. Let's see. Certainly one. Fascinating story on Times of Israel. Over half of the 22,000 IDF soldiers treated have mental health issues. Are you surprised by that figure?
I was once asked, Howard, Simon, whether a victim of terror who wanted to pursue their case against the Palestinian Authority would suffer any type of detriment by proving that they had suffered mental health issues and being declared really a mental health sufferer, and even getting some type of compensation for it. And had he asked, I said to him, had you asked me that question before the 7th of October, I would have said yes. Obviously, having the label of someone who suffers from mental health problems is not great. But post October 7th, I think to a certain extent, if you don't suffer from mental health problems in Israel, then you're the odd one out. Every single one of us knows families who have been torn apart, victims of the October 7 massacre, soldiers who have been injured, who have been killed, soldiers who, God forbid, have put an end to their lives because of the PTSD. This is something which the whole country, I would say, needs a severe amount of counselling. And so I'm not surprised that many of the soldiers do suffer some type of PTSD. I think probably the numbers are even conservative, and they're probably more.
Wow, sobering, and yet so totally understandable. Lieutenant Colonel in the Reserves, Maurice Hirsch, as always, thank you so very much for chatting to us on Chai FM.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.